Okay, this is April 21st, and this is about our Father's business.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, as usual, it's so nice to see so many gods and goddesses in one room. We're talking tonight, or the whole month, we were talking about our Father's business. Tonight we're going to talk about our Father's business, but in a different way. I'm going to ask some questions and see how you people are faring with all this stuff. Because we just went through a holiday in the Christian world called Easter. And many people celebrate Easter, and I know all the churches were packed and this, that, and the other thing. So let's talk about that for one moment. First of all, I would like to know, does anyone know what type of a teaching this is?
Open ended.
What you're doing?
It's a metaphysical teaching. Does anyone know what metaphysical means? Means beyond the physical. So we're always talking about ideas. We're talking about things that are seen come from things that are not seen. And that's what this whole teaching is about. We're talking about things that are not seen. So, with that said, how many people know the metaphysical story of Easter? Or are you still back to the old rugged cross? My friend Doug the Baptist called me on Easter Sunday to tell me that his church put up the most wonderful, wonderful old rugged cross with all kinds of flowers stuck to it, and all the setting of things. And everyone goes out and buys an Easter lily and they do all this setting of the thing. But I'm going to tell you metaphysically what Easter is. Okay, we start out with the idea that Easter is the whole idea of resurrection. The whole idea of resurrection. So let's start with the cross. The symbol of the cross, you know, it has a vertical and it has a horizontal. The vertical is the idea of God. The idea of mind. The horizontal is the human mind. And we hang on that cross, all of us. We hang on that cross, all of us hang there. Till something happens. So that we can get off the cross. Now, many people stay on the cross all their lives and they suffer. They suffer all their lives hanging on the cross. Especially Catholics. Because that's what they're taught. This is a wonderful season and so forth, but we have to look at it metaphysically. So when we're looking at something metaphysical, or when we're in this teaching, a metaphysical teaching, what are we always talking about? What are we always talking about?
Imagination.
Yeah.
Energy.
We're always talking about mind.
Mind.
It's always. Anything that I talk about, you have to relate to mind. It's your mind. It's not the mind of God. The mind of God is set. Your mind is not set. And we get into trouble when we don't think correctly. In order to get through life, you have to learn to think correctly. That's all life is about. And that's what all these stories in the Bible and so forth are all about, mind. They're not about all that Job and Noah and all that stuff. They're about mind. So you have to read the Bible metaphysically. And when you see these wonderful things called Easter and these big pageants that are out there, you have to look at it in a metaphysical manner. You know, we have Christmas. And we have a man dressed in red running around giving you presents. That has nothing to do with religion whatsoever. The same way at Easter, what do we have? We have a bunny rabbit that lays eggs. You know, this is all well and good, and it's fun to think about all these things. But you have to say, what is it? What is really going on here? What is really the message of Easter? The egg, by the way, is in almost all religions. It's a pagan symbol. It represents the tomb. And inside of that tomb is life, you see. And we always use the egg as the example. If you want something, pray for 21 days. That's how long it takes a chicken to hatch, a little peep. It takes 21 days. So they always use the 21-day thing. And then in 21 days, you come out of the tomb. Now, in the story of Easter, only in the tomb 3 days and rising up. So now we have the cross, and we know now what the cross means, that going up vertically is to God. This is the horizontal. You're hanging on that cross. Now, beside you are two other crosses with two men on them, what we call the thieves. That's the split in your mind and so forth. That's your mind talking to you, telling you this, that, and the other thing all the time. You know, the yammer that you have going on. You have to get rid of that split mind and get rid of that mind talk and so forth. So that eventually you die to the world. You die to your own mind. Now you're able to get off the cross. Now you're in the tomb. When you're in the tomb, that's complete darkness in there. That is the whole idea of renewing everything, giving up your old life. You have to give up your old attitudes, your old beliefs, your old habits, your old addictions, and so forth. And you do that by dying to those things so that you can be resurrected, so that you can have a new life. So, the darkness in the tomb and so forth is the whole idea that now you have given up there. You have a whole new consciousness, a whole new mind to put things into. What do you want to believe now? What is the thing? Instead of believing what the world has always taught you, instead of believing what the culture you live in is always telling you. You see, the whole idea is not to become a puppet of your own conditioning, but to rise above all those things and to see rightly what is going on. And when you look at this idea of Easter as an idea to renew yourself and to become anything that you want by giving up the old, it's a rebirth. Now, the next question is, and no one, you know, when Mary, the story is that Mary went to the tomb and the stone was rolled away. Who rolled the stone away? Did thieves come in and do that? What happened?
The guards did. That's what he did.
No. You do it yourself. You have to roll the stone away. You have to do it. You roll the stone away so that you can come out of the tomb with your new life. You can come out of the tomb with your new life. Many people stay in the tomb. They never roll the stone away. You must roll the stone away. And then new life comes to you and you give up all those things. So here we have in the world, I heard a minister on Sunday. I flicked the stations to see what the world is doing out there religiously. As one minister said, you know, we know more about Jesus than we do about Julius Caesar. That's an out and out lie, you know. What we know about Jesus is only 13 days of his life. 13 days of his life is all we know. Pick up a Bible. It only describes 13 days of a man's life. That is all. And we build a whole religion around 13 days. And the other thing I would like you to remember is in this teaching, we believe in everything that Jesus said, but very little that's been said about it. Everything that he said, but very little that was said about him. People go on about that he is the Son of God because God resurrected him. Now, what did Jesus say? You can do this and better. So if he could resurrect himself, you can resurrect yourself. The other thing is to remember is, if Jesus is coming back, don't you think he would have done it by now? Don't you think he would have done it by now? It doesn't matter. That resurrection story is a story of your mind and what you're doing with your mind. It has nothing to do with that. You see? Oh, isn't that wonderful? And people believe that. And they keep waiting for Jesus to come back. The man's never going to come back. As we say, he's as dead as a knit. And he's going to stay dead. But his life and his teaching is going to continue. It's going to continue. Because he said wonderful things. It's like the Buddha said wonderful things. The Buddha's not going to come back. If you want Christ to resurrect, you must do it inside of your own consciousness. You must resurrect that. You must start to what? What was one of his best teachings? Learn to love your neighbor as yourself. Learn to love your neighbor as yourself. That is the message. We must learn to love ourselves. We must learn to hold ourselves in the highest of esteem. That is why we do that thing. You are worthy and you are deserving. You are totally level. You matter. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. This is the main teaching. This is the thrust of all of this. Not all this other stuff that people want to bring into it. The world is teaching a myth. A complete myth, and people are buying into it. That's why I tell you, do not listen to the world. There's nothing wrong with that, and if it gives you great happiness and joy to do that. But you know, you would have to believe all the stuff that churches want you to believe. You would have to have a lobotomy. There is no way you can believe that stuff. That does not mean that you're a heretic. It doesn't mean that you're sacrilegious or anything. It means you're a thinking person. You're using your mind so that you can come to an understanding that you are a wonderful human being. So that you can come to an understanding to love everyone as yourself and to learn to love yourself. And I am almost positive, and I'll say this, that all the church services that went on yesterday, I bet one minister never told those people to love themselves. They told them to love Jesus. Doesn't do you a bit of good to love Jesus if you don't love yourself. I know tons of people that love Jesus, and they're the meanest, nastiest people I know. The meanest, nastiest people I know. This is not what this teaching is about. This teaching and this whole season is the idea of resurrecting yourself into a new and better life, into a new and better consciousness, to get an understanding of how your mind works, so that you have the two thieves on each side of you telling you lies, telling you stories. Finally, what did Jesus say? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. He also said, you will be with me. You will be with me. When we say, when Jesus said, you will be with me, you will be with me in consciousness. You can raise your consciousness up to a higher level where you're able to see things differently, to see things rightly, so that you're not repeating all the hurts and slights and stuff from generation after generation. We have to move up in consciousness, people. We have to see things differently. And the people who go to church and fall for Easter, I'll say it, I'll come right out and say it, and fall for Easter and think that that is what it's all about, that is not what it's all about. We could run around at Easter time, we put on new clothes, we do all that. That's covering up the outer. We're not dealing with the outer people. We're always dealing with the inner. Well, how are you feeling inwardly? Now, dressing up may make you feel good, but it doesn't last. What lasts is what you have done with your consciousness, how you are able to love yourself. And when you're able to love yourself, you're able to love other people. When you're able to love other people, you're able to love this thing called God. Then you can do something with all this. But putting all these traditions together, and this myth, it's wonderful. Families gather, they eat ham, they do all whatever else they do. But have they learned anything? Have they changed their mind? Have they changed their consciousness in any way, shape, or form? Have they changed it? Now, I'm going to tell you a story. I called my aunt on Easter because I knew no one else was going to call her. She's 96 years old. She's had trouble with her legs. I don't know exactly what that is, but they're all bandaged up and all. And she said, I've been sitting in this chair for about 3 or 4 months now, Dallas. Mm-hmm. And she said, I'm so glad that you called me. Then she went into the story that her daughter, who lives in the same area, never came to see her at Easter. And she said, you know, they're accusing me of this, that, and the other thing. Why are they so mean to me and this, that, and the other thing? And I couldn't tell her. I couldn't tell her why they're so mean to her. I don't know that. But when you reach the age, she's either 96 or 97, you should not have these worries and concerns. You should not have this. You see? We have to stop this kind of thing, or it just repeats itself. The daughter may be intelligent, but she's not metaphysical at all. She's not worried about her mind whatsoever. The mother also told me, she said, you know, she wrote out the will, and she has my will and so forth, and she's giving herself 80% because she's going to have to do the work. You know, what do you say? Do you want to? I don't want to be 97 years old and deal with this type of thing. I don't want to be 97 and deal with this type of thing. You see, we have to learn to love everybody. We have to learn to love ourselves. We have to learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. And if you're in a church or anything and they're able to do that, then all well and good. But if they're just going to perpetuate the same thing for the next generation, but then I have no toleration for them whatsoever. If they don't grow, if they don't tell people, if it's to be, it's up to you, me. I'm the one who has to change. No one else is going to change. I am smart enough and intelligent enough to see what's going on here. Those stories in the Bible, the wonderful Christmases and Easters and all the events are all well and good. They're wonderful. But you have to take them at face value. And that's all. And why were they done that way? Because they thought people were ignorant way back then. And this is the only way they could tell the story. Metaphysically, we tell the story differently. When you pick up the Bible, you have to read it metaphysically. You have to see what is going on there. You see, it's not the story that Jonah was swallowed by the whale. Do you think that Jonah was really swallowed by a whale or went down into the stomach and then the whale burped him back up again and so forth? No, that never happened. That's a metaphysical story to tell you what happens if you're being swallowed up by something. You're being swallowed up by a big whale, by a big problem. You see? That's what that means. No whale ever swallowed somebody and regurgitated it. You see? And people think, oh, that's true. Mm-hmm. I saw, you know, I didn't know this till just recently. They make comic books about Christians and about all the stories in the Bible. They make comic books out of it for children to absorb all that stuff. You know, I told you the story about David and Goliath, you see. We're always facing a Goliath. But we have the slingshot that we can take Goliath down. That's what the metaphysically, that is the way you must see things. And in your everyday life, you must see things that way. So when this aunt of mine asked me, I could have gone into all the perhaps this, that, and the other thing happened. But I don't know if that's the truth. I don't know what's going on there. I'm just very sad and very upset about the whole situation. That anyone at that age would be abandoned by people. We can't do that. You see, I would like to call the daughter and say, do you know what you're doing? Do you believe in karma? Do you believe in anything? Because it's going to come back around and get you. It's going to come back around and get you. You cannot be mean and nasty to people. You just can't afford to do that. You have to raise your consciousness up. You have to see things differently. And we have to teach people that that is possible. Otherwise, the world will just keep repeating itself. We will just keep doing this for 100 years from now. I hope people will look at Easter in a completely different way. You see? It's the resurrection of your mind. It's the resurrection of the spirit, of the soul inside of you. Of you. You. It's always you. It has nothing to do with that man, Jesus. That may have happened to him, and it may not have happened to him. But I'm sure we know more about Julius Caesar than we know about Jesus. So why this is constantly, my friend Doug the Baptist told me he loves this church he goes to now because they are so intelligent there and they do so much research. I said, oh really, what kind of research do they do? He said, oh well, they research all the biblical stuff, they research all that. He said, you know, they show us videos of the Holy Land and where all the stuff happened, and they can document it. He said, you know, it's a historical I never say a word to Doug. I don't want to say to him, you know, it's a bunch of twaddle. They have no idea what happened. Most of the stuff, you know, was written 500 years after this man. They don't know if that's the exact spot at all. I mean, it's absolutely asinine and ridiculous. When I was in the Holy Land, I was at the River Jordan. I might as well have been at Disneyland. They were renting white robes for people to get into the water to be baptized, and had to stand in line and pay. Oh God, you know, like a ride. This has nothing to do with that, you know. It has nothing to do with that. Where do they come up with this stuff? So I don't know. You know, I told you I grew up in the Lutheran church. And my grandfather died, and I adored my grandfather. And if anything, he did not go to church. But he was a good, honest, sincere person. In fact, I never heard grandfather use a bad word in his life. The minister at that time, and I forget, I guess I was about 17 or 18 years old. The minister said to me, "Well, you know, Dallas, he won't get into heaven." In my house, the minister came to the house to tell us that. I said, "Are you out of your mind?" And I said, "Why would that be?" He was never baptized. He was never baptized. So I said, "Well, I think he's probably in heaven right here and right now." No. Never went back to that church. Never went back to that church. You can't put up with this. Why would they want to tell somebody that, you see? You have to learn to love yourself, people. Please learn to do that. Learn to see things differently. Learn that you're always held in the highest of esteem by this thing that we call God, which no one knows what that is, by the way. And if anyone tells you that they know God, run the other direction. It cannot be true. There is something going on. I can feel something going on. I can call it God. I can call it anything. But there's an intelligence. There's a wisdom. There's a life force going on. This is what we're talking about. What life force is in you? And what do you want to do? Do you want to align with this mind of God? This month we're talking about my father's business. Do we want to raise our consciousness up and see things in a completely different way? All I did with that aunt of mine, her name is Gunny, by the way, I said, "Aunt Gunny, I do not know. But I can tell you, you were always a wonderful woman to me. And you were always an intelligent woman." And I said, "I will remember that." And she says, "What do you think the rest of the family must think about me if my daughter's doing all this?" I said, "I don't know, but I'm sure they're not saying one bad thing about you. You know, they're not saying anything about you." You have to show people compassion. You have to show people compassion. I think it's very mean and very spiteful and very hateful. I could not bring myself. I don't care if the woman been the meanest person in the world. At 97, I could never be mean to somebody. I could never look at an old person and say, "You're an idiot," or whatever. That person deserves respect. That person deserves respect. The other thing that we know in metaphysics is, you know, we're only ever talking to ourselves. We're all one, you see? So we want to make ourselves the very best person that we can be. That's what it's about. And that's what Easter was about. You were hanging on a cross. You were bearing something. You were able to die to that. I don't care if it was an addiction, whatever it was, you see, a disease, anything. You must die to those things and become new. Die to the old self. That's what all the things that you hear, let go and let God. Surrender. All those things mean get off the cross for God's sake. Get off that cross and do something about it. Die to the thing that's bothering you. Die to it. It means absolutely nothing. And then allow your consciousness to resurrect you into a new being. A new being. Now we have churches out there that use the expression, have you been reborn? Have you been reborn? I don't think they know what that means.
Have you been saved?
Oh, and you've been saved. You're saved. We're all saved people. You know. No one's going to save you but yourself. If you're waiting around for somebody and you're waiting around for salvation, you can wait the rest of the eternity. It's not going to happen to you. You must save yourself. And how do you think you save yourself? By learning to love yourself. By learning to love yourself. And you save yourself that way. You do. So you die to the thing that's holding you on the cross. You die to that. And you start to love yourself. And I just saw Casey make a beautiful smile and so forth. Because Casey died. And he resurrected himself. At one point, I remember Casey. When physically he was that bad off, I wouldn't have given him a week. But he was able to do something, weren't you? You were able to find that, and you were able to say, I love myself enough to resurrect myself from this. Mm-hmm. And you resurrected yourself from that. You did not listen to the two thieves on the side of you who said, oh no, this is it, ha ha. You have a disease that's incurable. You have a disease that's incurable. Never allow anyone to tell you you have a disease that's incurable. When they say that, they mean they haven't found the cure for it. That's all that means. But you cannot use the word incurable. We can be cured from anything. And when we give up the old, you gave up your old life. You gave up all that stuff. You were reborn. You were resurrected. You were in a tomb. You rolled the stone back. And you came out. You saw the light and you came out. And that's what the tomb is so dark in there. You have no light in there. You know, I don't know if you people know this, if you're in a cave and there's no light, and you stay there long enough, you go blind. Because you have to have light to be able to see. And if you're locked in a cave with no light penetrating whatsoever, you will eventually go blind. The eyes need the light. So you have to roll that stone away from the tomb that you have put yourself in. And there's nothing wrong with being in the tomb. That's the time that you make all the decisions. That you decide to come out. You just got off the cross, did you not? You thought you had to hang on that cross and do all that bidding and all that kind of stuff. But you resurrected yourself, did you not? And don't you feel much better now?
Extremely.
Yes. See? And what do you think made you decide to do that?
Loving myself.
You learned to love yourself and you said, I don't have to put up with this. I can love myself. And you love yourself right out of any situation. You have to love yourself out of any situation. So don't let the world or anything else tell you that you're stuck. We are never stuck, people. We are never stuck. You see? Because we have within us the divine spark. You cannot get rid of that. I don't care what you do or say or whatever. You cannot get rid of the divine spark that's in you. So you find that and you let that grow and you let that resurrect inside of you. And then you're free, you see? This whole teaching, as I said before, is about mind. And it's about freedom. It's about your freedom. So many people think that they have to continue something. They give up their freedom. They just think, oh, well, that's, so I have to give up. You must never give up your freedom, people. You must hold on to that freedom, you see? We're not here to be victims. We're here to be victorious. And we are victorious through this idea of renewing the mind. So in this last week and yesterday was the whole idea of renewing your mind, renewing your thinking, change your beliefs about yourself. If your life is not working, it's because your mind is not working. And you buy into something. I have to stay on this job because I need the money. So you can never say that to yourself, I must stay on this job because I need the money. Otherwise, you have just given up everything. God is always your source and your supply. And you must always come back to that. It doesn't matter what people are dangling in front of you. It doesn't matter what people are dangling in front of you. The money will always come. The money will always come. Years ago when I had tons of clients and so forth that would come to see me, it was always about how much they hated their job and how their job was killing them. It was causing them this and that and aches and pains and one disease after the other, and they were all on different kinds of medications and so forth. And I said to them, well, why do you stay on that job? And they would say, because of the benefits. I said, well, then you stay because you're going to need those benefits. Because the job is killing you. You're going to need those benefits. You cannot stay on anything because of the benefits, people. You cannot do that. You must trust in this thing called God. You must trust in this thing called God. People do many things because they want security. I'm sure you thought of that, the word security. There's no such thing as security, people. Give that idea up. There is no such thing as security. There's life. And life is not secure. And you don't want it to be secure. Because you become complacent when life is secure. And then you don't really like life anymore. Because what do you say? I used to have a friend, oh, used to. Well, how is everything? Oh, you know, the same old, same old. The same old, same old. I never used that expression. I think that's the worst expression you can say. Why? In this teaching, we don't use that. Because we know what? God makes all things new. God makes all things new. You see? You must always remember that a reversal is on its way to you. Regardless of what situation you're in, it can reverse itself instantly. That's what a miracle is. That's all a miracle is a reversal of fortune. You see? That's a reversal of your health. It's a reversal of something. That's a miracle. And we have miracles in this world, and people don't know that. That it's a, you know. And you've seen that with people. You were a complete reversal, and you're going to become a complete reversal. Because now, Spirit can do for you what you cannot do. It can find you right place and put you in it. You were a square peg, and you're trying to force yourself into a round hole, and it will not work. It never has, and it never will, people. You cannot sell yourself out. When you do that, it must have been difficult for you to get up and go to work because you must have hated yourself most of the time.
Yes.
When you see you can't live a life when you're hating yourself. Oh, I have to go to the, oh, I have to, You don't want to do that to yourself. It's the renewing of your thinking that will bring everything to you. Renew your thinking. Set yourself down and say, what am I thinking? How am I thinking? Am I thinking in the old way? Do I really think that a rabbit lays eggs? You see? That's nice when you're a kid to think all that stuff. But we have to grow up. We have to grow up spiritually, people. And I'm telling you, most of the churches and stuff that are out there, the institutions, the brand name churches, are not into that. They do not want you to grow up spiritually. They want you to remain children. They want you to become weak so that they can control you. Do not allow anybody or anything to control you. You have to take control. That's what I told Aunt Connie on Sunday. I said, you were always a strong woman, you were always an intelligent woman, and you never took any guff from anyone. Why are you doing it now? Why are you doing it now? And don't give me the excuses because I'm 97. You see, people think when they get older they must give up all that stuff. You do not have to give up anything. Remember my other aunt, Aunt Catherine? She was 96 or 7 too. She went to the doctor. And the doctor said, when was the last time you were at a doctor? And she said, oh, about 60 years ago. And he said, well, maybe that's why you're in such good health. And she said, don't you think attitude had something to do with it? She had a wonderful attitude about life. As she got older and needed her son and so forth to take her to the doctor appointments and so forth, they would talk to him. And she said, I will make you aware that I am in the room. You may talk to me. I'm the one that's here to see you. Do not be talking to my son. He just drove me here. Do not give that stuff up, people. Be feisty. Keep it. You see? You cannot give up you cannot give up your life. You cannot do that to yourselves. The world tells you as you get older, you get feeble, you get this, that, and everything. I thought this Aunt Gunny was as sharp as a tack yesterday when I talked to her. Yeah, she's having some physical difficulties and so forth. But her mind is still there. She knows what she's doing. And I'll tell you, I'll go back 50 years or more. She lived in Massachusetts, in Lexington, Massachusetts, and I was there at the dinner table one day. And her husband, Uncle Paul, started in and said something, was doing something. And she looked at him and she said, Paul, if you're going to start to feel sorry for yourself, we do not want to hear it. Go down to the apple tree and tell the apple tree, we do not want to hear it here at the table. You see? She knew. She still knows. She said to me yesterday, "You know, Dallas, I made up my mind. I can do this on my own. I don't need my daughter." She said, "Well, I can take care of myself." Now, she said, she may have taken my money, but I know how to do that too. She said, "I didn't go to school for nothing." So I said, "Good for you. Take care of yourself." See? You have to do it. You have to make up your mind to be strong. You have to resurrect yourself from all the things of life. And you can do that, people. We can all do that. So when we look at this season, look at it differently. And next year, when it comes around, think of the different things. The symbol of the egg means the tomb, and that life is inside of that tomb. See? Think of the cross. The vertical part is up to God. The horizontal is the human mind. The thieves beside the cross is all the chatter that's going on, you see? And then you have to die to that life in order to resurrect to the other one. Now, what does that remind you of when I say that? Here's an expression in the Bible that if you read it, you have to read it metaphysically. You can read it. The Bible is written on many different levels. That's why we say in my Father's house, there are many mansions, you see. There are many states of consciousness. So the thing in the Bible says, you cannot put new wine into old wine sacks or old wine skins. You can read it differently. You cannot do that. And that's what so many people want to do. You must die to the old in order to get the new. So many people come into the metaphysical teaching and they want to keep the old wine sack and they want to pour stuff into that. You cannot do that. You cannot grasp this teaching on former teachings. It will not work. It does not work that way. You must get rid of the old and take up the new. You must resurrect all that stuff and learn to think differently about the whole situation. And Easter and Christmas and all the other religious holidays, look at them metaphysically. You see, and I'm not putting all that stuff down. That's wonderful. They want to go out, and some people want to go to church on Easter and Christmas and so forth. Churches love those time of year. Their revenue goes up very high, you know. But let's look at it differently from now on. And let's know that the resurrection is inside of you. That this spirit that we call God or this soul is inside of you. And you can resurrect yourself anytime you want by changing your mind. This teaching is always about mind. It's not about, and it's always, we're talking about the inner life. You say, if you get your inner life working, the outer life works. All those things that you see and hear out there, they're working with the outer. You see, they're putting on a big show. Let's get all the Easter, white Easter lilies that we can find and stuff them in here. And this is a good. Well, it looks beautiful, but does it do anything? Does it change your mind in any which way? Now, I'm not putting that down either. I love to look at all that stuff. But when you're looking at that stuff, say, well, what's it doing inside of me? How is it changing my thinking? How am I feeling about this whole thing? You see? Makes all the difference in the world when you look at things metaphysically. All the difference in the world when you look at things metaphysically. Everything can be explained metaphysically. You can give me any story about any relationship or anything, and I can tell you metaphysically what's going on. See? And when you know metaphysically what's going on, you can change it. That does not mean that you take the pill. It does not mean you do this, that, or the other thing. It means you change your mind. You see things rightly. You see things rightly. So, look at the whole Easter thing as a wonderful thing. I'm not taking it away from anyone. But let's know in 100 years that it's not going to be the way it is today. Because the faith of your fathers no longer works for you. See? They want to keep teaching the faith of my father. How many? This old song, you know, faith of my father. It doesn't work. It's not working. We're evolving. We are evolving in consciousness. We are raising ourselves up to a higher level where eventually, and I know it's going to be sooner than later, we are going to be able to demonstrate heaven here on earth. We're going to be able to do that. Because there's no waiting, you know. Now, my friend Doug the Baptist is waiting to go to heaven. He's going to have a higher station than most of us. Let him do that. All right. Is there any questions? Is there any?
Aren't we experiencing heaven already right here on earth when we experience wonderful things and joy and happiness?
We are.
Isn't that heaven?
Yes. That is
so
heaven.
So what do you mean we'll be able to experience heaven?
That there'll be no killings, there'll be no murders, there'll be no theft, there'll be no locks, there'll be no keys, there'll be none of that. You see? No poverty. You see, that's heaven. We have bits and pieces of heaven. And we, as metaphysicians, can see heaven all the time. You see. But we want that to evade everything. You see. We want it to evade everything. So that we don't go through that. Becoming 97 and your child's treating you poorly, or you're worried about that, that's called a knit and flee in life, I call that. That's not necessary. It's absolutely not necessary. That woman should be having the time of her life, not worried and concerned. You see? That's not heaven. You see? That's not heaven. Anybody else? Yes?
When you're unhappy with your job, say, or a situation, then are you suggesting you leave it and see what happens?
No, I'm not suggesting that you leave it and see what happens. I'm suggesting that you change your mind, that you say to yourself, Spirit can do for me what I cannot do. It can find my right place and put me in it. But if it gets that bad, right, where you have to leave, then you leave. But you make all the other things. You know, the best way to work yourself out of the job is to work yourself into it. Does that help you? Because I know it sounds like, oh, just go and quit. You know. But it doesn't always mean just go and quit. You have to figure, and that you have to ask. You know, you have to keep asking. What am I doing? How am I, you know, you ask.
Ask the higher power.
Oh yes, absolutely. Not me. I'm not that high.
I was going to share with the group. I have a new belief.
Good.
In my world, money grows on trees.
I
have a money tree in the front yard, and it has, I call them money pots. It's not necessarily money, but it's abundance that flows in, just a river of goodness, me and people around me.
Yes.
And they don't all open at the same time. It's sporadic, and it's like, boom.
That's right.
This is my thinking lately.
Well, that's a wonderful way.
I jumped on a trampoline a couple days ago. And I thought, I'll walk in the top of this and move this white angel. I thought, I'll go worse the angel. I move it up, I find a $100 bill and 520s underneath it. I didn't know it was there. I'm like, okay.
Yes.
unseen fortunes.
Absolutely. That is a wonderful thing what he just said, because how many people were taught as children money does not grow on trees? We were taught that money is scarce. We were all brought up with the scarcity of money. And you see, that cannot be true, not if you live in an abundant universe. And money has to be always freely circulating in your life. It has to come from all corners of the universe. It has to come from all corners. When you allow yourself, open yourself to that. How do you do that? So many people say, how do you do that? You have to know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, and things will come to you. Money will come to you. Money is only money. And it only has the value you put on it. And if you think it's scarce, it'll be scarce. If you think it's freely circulating, it will be freely circulating. So don't buy into the world. Anybody else? Do you want to... Was I clear enough about Easter and understand a little better?
Okay. When you say die to it?
You have to die.
How do you
You have to die to your old self, you see. And how do you die? By giving it up. By saying, I'm coming off the cross, I'm dying to myself, I'll stay a moment in the tomb, and I'll figure out a new life for myself. But you must always die to the old, you see.
Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean change your thinking?
That doesn't mean change your thinking. Yes.
As you say, think the thoughts that you want to think.
Yes, always think the thoughts that you want to think. Always.
So. You mentioned asking for stuff, and it just occurred to me that even though I do meditation from time to time and affirmations, like, I don't necessarily pray all that often. And I was like, what's a good way to get in a good habit of prayer?
Well, you're always praying, people. I mean, it was Paul, I believe, who said, pray without ceasing. Praying without ceasing is seeing if you see something good. If you see something beautiful, that's a meditation. That's a prayer. It doesn't mean that you're down on your knees saying, oh God, please change us, do this, that, and the other thing. It means seeing the good. Seeing the good where?
Everywhere.
In yourself. You have to see the good in yourself. See? Does that help you? Yeah. Anything else?
People? I do the 5-step affirmative prayer.
Yes.
Every morning.
Throughout those other 2 steps, did you?
The 2 steps?
Yeah, well, it's either 5 or 7, yeah. Throughout those 2 steps,
yeah. There's the 7-step and the 5-step.
All right. If there are no other questions, we will close by knowing what. It's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.